The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are we on the air?
You're listening to WJMSradio.com.
Jam.
This chick is a sick individual.
You're tuned in to Sound Off with your girl Jams right here on WJMSradio.com.
There is no competition.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sound Off right here on WJMS Radio. This is your girl, Jams, and I'm so excited to be with you guys this week. Last week, we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but this week is going to be a good show, and I'm really, really glad that we waited so that we could do this the right way. I have a very special show for you guys. Of course, I want to thank the folks behind the scenes who make Sound Off and WJMS Radio possible. Thank you guys for all the hard work you do. That includes our interns, all the other hosts, and all the people that listen to me whine and complain when I have to every now and then about what's going on. I appreciate everybody's support. Definitely took a little bit of a hiatus. It's good to be back. My work schedule has changed, so I am finally able to be live on Saturdays a little bit more often, which is great. So it feels really weird, but exciting to be back live again. It's been so long since I've actually, you know, just sat live with you guys and haven't done a podcast. So it's interesting. It's exciting. I'm happy to be here. So I want to get into the show for this afternoon. If you guys want to join us, you can always catch us on social media. We are at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. You can join our conversation live on video right now. If you're watching via Get Vocal, make sure you check us out. You can grab a seat if you'd like to join us, or you can just watch and listen and, you know, drop us comments in the chat on the side there. And you can also stream it live through Live 365. By adding WJMS Radio as a favorite. All right, so I want to get into the show for this afternoon. I have two special guests with me today. I'm really, really excited. I got an email from this gentleman, or maybe your assistant, but I got an email, and when she spoke about what, you know, they wanted to come on air and talk about, I thought to myself, yeah, this is definitely the type of thing that WJMS Radio likes to spotlight. So my first guest for today is Dr. Kurt T. Jackson, who is a retinal surgeon with over 15 years of experience practicing out of multiple locations in Bergen, Essex, and Hudson counties. He's also the founding member of Remember the 400, which is the topic for today's show. Remember the 400 is an awareness campaign that was formed to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the first arrival of the Africans that were brought to the shores of Hampton, Virginia in August of 1619. The organization's mission is to tell the true story of those Africans who landed on the shores of America 400 years ago. And the purpose of their program that they're having in August is to bring together individuals, organizations, and others who are dedicated to creating a positive regional impact of healing the racial divide. I'm really, really, really excited to welcome you to the show because, number one, this is a monumental happening. And number two, the fact that you're putting together an event surrounding it is really awesome. So, Kurt, thank you so much for being with me today. And Taya as well, welcome to the show. I'm going to let you introduce Taya. But before that, just thank you guys for being with me today. I'm really happy to finally have you guys here and that we were able to get it together.
Certainly. And we thank you so much for even allowing us this platform, Jamie, to talk about the commemoration of the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first Africans, as you mentioned in the introduction. I myself am the president of the Northeast chapter of Remember the 400, as we have different chapters throughout the country. Taya Henry is a member of the Toronto chapter of Remember the 400, and we're actually in Toronto, Canada. Toronto, Canada today because the Remember the 400 chapter is having an event today to support the efforts that we are doing and that we're undergoing in different parts of the country and abroad, actually, leading up to the latter part of August of this year, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, that will commemorate the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first slave. So we're certainly thankful to you for giving us this platform to talk about what Remember the 400 is. You know, so many times in our history and in our education, actually, what we're taught, we're not really taught much about who we are, you know, what our forefathers were about, where we came from, the contributions that we've made, not only to the development of America, but really the development of the world as a whole. Because slavery was something that, when you look at the cost of slavery, when you look at the free labor that came out of slavery and the wealth that was created out of slavery, there's really no way that you could create a system that was more perfect than that system that was in place at that time. You had although it was not a willing workforce, you had a workforce that was completely capable and truly able and generated tremendous amounts of wealth for those people that were in control. And we see the results of that work. We see the results of the wealth that was created during that time. But what's not really talked about is the impact that it had on those people that worked. We don't get to talk about and we don't get to hear about the descendants of these people and the contributions that were made subsequent to slavery and even during slavery. So that's where we come in with Remember the 400. And as you mentioned, it's an awareness campaign that is essentially centered around bringing the awareness so that people, not only the descendants of slaves, but really the country as a whole, because this is part of American history. This is not African American history, or it shouldn't be just African American history. It really should be a part of American history, that everyone understands the contributions that were made by the slaves and the descendants of slaves. So Shadrach Porter is actually the protagonist of this whole thing. You know, more than 30 years ago, he talked about commemorating this anniversary of that 1619 date. And he himself is a notable playwright and activist that is really focused on just making us aware of our history, because, you know, the thing about history is when you understand more about who you are, it raises your, not only your self-awareness, but it gives you more confidence. You have a lot more assurity of who you are because you know where your foundation is. And I think that's one of the things that is lacking in our community. So again, this isn't the sort of thing that we just want to make our community aware of, but we really want to make, you know, the not only in America, but really on a world stage, we want to make people aware of these things because, again, it's not the sort of thing that's taught in, you know, in our history books.
So exactly.
Even leading up to that time in Hampton, in the latter part of August this year, we're working with the city of Hampton, actually, because the city itself is having a huge commemoration for that 400th year. They have a Project 19 committee that the city itself put together. The state of Virginia has put together a committee that will also be commemorating that time, August 23rd through 25th, because they recognize the importance of this, not only, again, from an African-American standpoint, but an American standpoint.
Definitely. So, well, before we get into, I have a lot of questions and a lot of conversation points to have today about the 400th, both the event and the sort of what happened. But before we do that, Taya, I want to give you the opportunity to sort of introduce yourself and tell us sort of where you came from and how you got involved with the organization as a whole.
Thank you. So, as you mentioned, I'm from the Toronto chapter. I'm in the Youth and College Division. So about January of this year, I connected with a part of the group. And two points that Kurt mentioned that I think are really what dragged me into it are, firstly, the education component. You know, there is such a lack of education. There's so many things even I've learned since working with a member of the 400 about my history, you know, in America, of course, but also Canadian history and the things that we've gone to and how the countries are connected through that story. And so I've learned so much. And I've also seen, as we said, it's an awareness campaign. I've seen the way people have become more aware and have taken responsibility for their own learning and taken it into our own hands because it's not taught to us in those formal settings. And so I love this campaign because of that, because we're able to learn of our own history. We're able to teach ourselves and teach each other because unfortunately it hasn't come in other ways. So we're taking the opportunity in this very important time, like you said, to commemorate the last 400 years and everything that's led up to this point. Let's also discuss the future and the way it affects even people younger than me and the things that we want to see changing in America, in North America, and in the world. So those are kind of the main points that really have me interested, and I was so happy to be able to collaborate with Number the 400. Initially, I did a webinar in February about celebrating Black history, not just in that month. And so mm-hmm. that was kind of me getting my feet wet with the organization. And ever since, I've been really involved with, like I said, the Youth and College Division and other things that we have planned. And so I'm just really happy to be a part of this and to teach and learn myself.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, welcome to the show and thanks for being with us today. I wanted to make sure I gave you the opportunity to introduce yourself so folks know who the other beautiful lady is sitting in the room here. So I was going to ask, you know, why commemorate the 400th year, but it makes sense because none of us theoretically will be around for the 500th year. And the movement has finally gotten life at this point. Like nobody was thinking about the 300th year because we weren't there yet. We were still like, you know, almost knee deep in some of the stuff that was still going on. So it's interesting that we're just now 400 years later getting to a point where we can acknowledge, you know, what happened and what was going on at that time. And I find it's interesting to think about because if you think about it, what we're doing right now, you think about what'll happen on the 500th year, you know, like year 500, the 500th anniversary, what is that going to look like? And where do you think we're going to be? So I wanted to ask you guys, like, I know we haven't gotten to the 400th yet and we're working on it and we're almost there, but in your mind, where do you see Remember the 400 kind of going? And what do you sort of envision for the future down the line of the organization and sort of what's going on? Like, what are the bigger plans, if you will?
Yeah. I think that's an excellent question, Jimmy. Before we get there, maybe I should give a little bit of background. We talk about history and sometimes we may be saying 1619 and 2019, the 400th year, and we may have some in the listening audience that mm-hmm. aren't really familiar with the history that we're discussing here.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we mentioned, this started in 1619. And the reason August is significant and important is because in 1619, in that latter part of August 1619, there was something that occurred. There was a Portuguese slave ship known as the San Juan Bautista that actually left the shores of Africa with Angolan slaves and was transporting these slaves to Veracruz, Mexico to work in the slave mines for the country of Portugal, of course. And on that journey to Veracruz, Mexico, in the Gulf of Mexico, this ship was intercepted by a couple of what they call privateers. Now, privateers we now know as pirate ships. So yeah. What was a common occurrence during this time in history is that you would have countries that were participating in the slave trade in some shape, form, or fashion that were supported by various nations. And other countries would have ships that they would hire to actually go and rob and pillage these, you know, ships. And so this was almost like a common occurrence that occurred during this time. So the San Juan Bautista was intercepted by a couple of English supported ships. One was the Treasurer and one was the White Lion. And what they did was they took slaves from the San Juan Bautista, and the White Lion actually brought these slaves to what was known as Point Comfort at that time, which is now Hampton, Virginia. And that's why Hampton is so important, because even the history that we have been taught about the first enslaved Africans coming to the shores of English-speaking North America, mm-hmm. we've been told before that they were brought to Jamestown, Virginia.
Yeah.
What we understand through research, and a gentleman named Calvin Pearson is really instrumental in this, and he's in Hampton as well, noted historian and educator in his own right. What the research actually showed was that that ship went to Point Comfort and dropped the slaves off there. And so that was the pivotal moment in the beginning of what would become the transatlantic slave trade, where English-speaking North America was involved. And so that's why August 1619 is such an important date, and 2019 being that commemoration of the 400th anniversary, mm-hmm. August 2019 being that completion of that 400th year. And so I think that's part of why your question is so important. We understand the history, but the question now is, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And in order to figure out where we go from here, it's important that that history is understood, that it's recognized, that we understand that not only were these enslaved Africans workers on plantations and the cotton fields and all these sorts of things, but that their descendants contributed so much to the growth and the wealth of this country. So as Taya mentioned, there was a Black History Month event that was done that talks about not only celebrating African American history during Black History Month, but making it a year-long sort of thing, that that sort of thing is placed in formal education settings. So those are the types of things that we're advocating for going beyond the 400th year, such that we don't just make it a thing where we recognize this time and we commemorate this time, and then September 2019 to year 500, everything stays the same, but that we take this information and this understanding and we take things to a next level, that we heal the divisions that we have between African Americans and other segments of society, that we make it such that our young men are not targeted in terms of police brutality, that we make it such that our young women recognize how important they are in the growth and wealth of not only our community, but this country as a whole. Because if we do well, then everyone does well, you know, on top of that. So part of it is the educational aspect to make sure that we understand, and not only that we understand, but that everyone understands how important our contributions were. And then to make that sort of thing even part of a formal curriculum, whether it be starting from grade school all the way through secondary education, so that you may not even need a quote unquote African American studies, because this sort of thing will be part of the core curriculum for everyone.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about that is I would love to see that, and it needs to happen, but I want to make sure the history books are right first.
Exactly.
Because so often, like, you know, these kids, they're getting these history books. And I think, I don't know if this was, I think it was a real article that was talking about changing the history books to say that the first, you know, the slaves that came over were indentured servants, or like, you know, paid interns or something like that. Some ridiculousness that I was just like, I know this isn't going to fly, right? Like, I know we're not letting this happen. So it's really, for me, it's really, really important that the history books, like getting in the core curriculum is super important, and it should be mandatory, but making sure the story's right is key. Because if we have it in the core curriculum, but you're teaching the wrong thing, then really we're taking a step backwards and we're doing a disservice to all the hard work that folks like you guys are putting in to making sure that the truth is told right. You know, so in your opinion, how do we start to implement, not, you know, books aside, how do we start to implement this into the core curriculum as a whole? Because I think overall, there's a lack of Black teachers, number one. You know, not that you necessarily need a Black teacher to teach Black history, but I think it helps. Yeah. And number two, you know, there's sort of like this, like, nobody wants to talk about it mentality around Black history. Like, oh yeah, we were slaves. You guys still talking about that whole slavery thing? You know what I mean? Like, there's like this taboo sort of concept around talking about slavery and talking about what happened, you know, in history. So in your opinion, what does it look like to implement, or how do we start to implement this core curriculum? Like, what are some of the key steps that we should be looking at doing in order to make this an effective sort of implementation?
I think that's a great point and great question that you raise. And it starts from the ground up. You know, oftentimes we have almost been taught in a way that whatever it is that we get, it has to come from the top down. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the sort of thing that has to start from, you know, and it's sort of like an old term, but it has to start from grassroots. We have to be the ones that demand those things, and not necessarily ask for it, but we have to be the ones that demand for those things to be placed into the curriculum. And in order for us to do that, we have to become comfortable enough to talk about our history And we have to be not afraid. We have to be not ashamed. It is who we are. It is where we come from. And there are many other communities out there that had, you know, significant negative things that occurred as part of their history. And it's not difficult for them to talk about it. But as you mentioned, for us, it's a stain on who we are. There's taboo that's related to even bringing up the notion of slavery. Mm-hmm. And so until we become comfortable enough with embracing that part of our history, it will be difficult for us to get those things taught in a way that we want to. And so that's part of this effort as well, that we become comfortable with understanding that that is part of our history, that we become comfortable enough with having that conversation. And when we become comfortable enough with having that conversation, then we can move to the next step and start putting these things in place, that we can start demanding that our young children get taught, and that our young children, when they are taught, that they are taught the proper history, just in the way that you mentioned. And it's, you know, it's really great, because having someone like Taya, that's a young person that recently went through her college experience, to have someone like that to be able to talk about this sort of thing and be enthusiastic and excited about it tells us that the young people are looking for these things. And so if they're looking for it, we have to be able to supply it to them. The other interesting thing is, like, for instance, this is Juneteenth weekend. So in America, in a lot of different places in America, Juneteenth is being recognized. Many people don't even know what Juneteenth is about, whether you're African-American or not. And so, you know, that's one of those things that when we talk about our history and telling the history correctly and making sure that everyone is aware of the history, it's so interesting that here we are on this weekend talking about the 400th year, but this is also Juneteenth weekend, which ties back into, you know, into emancipation. Mm-hmm. And here's another point of something that isn't, you know, readily available, readily taught in the history books. So again, it is something that we have to become comfortable enough with having that conversation, not only amongst ourselves, but in the greater society as well. And then when we're able to do that from the ground up, we can start demanding those things that we want to see taught in the curriculum.
And you know what I think is, do you want to add something, Taya?
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. For me, it is all about the uncomfortable conversation. And then from there, we have to advocate for ourselves. And you mentioned my recent college experience. I remember when I was in school, predominantly white area, our school wasn't doing anything for Black History Month, let alone the rest of the year. And so February rolled around and I'm looking on my school calendar and there's nothing. And so kind of having to have those conversations with university officials and how we can implement these things, because there are students like me, students in general, that should know history from America and Canada, and things that we need to know about ourselves, like you said, have such a contribution to our confidence, our knowledge of who we are, where we've been, and where we can go. And so I do think it's nice to have the Youth in College division, because we're kind of in between, I would say, two points.
Yeah.
In between what happened in the past and wanting to go forward in the future and all the things we want to change and all this gusto we have to change it. And so starting those uncomfortable conversations, and they can be very uncomfortable, but starting them and ending them and just to learn from one another, to move forward and to advocate for ourselves and demand the things that we deserve, because everyone deserves to learn their own history. You know, I feel like we're one of the only people that don't know our own history and can't claim those things about us. And so that's why I think as we go forward, like you said, from year 400 to year 500, those are the type of changes I want to see. We know who we are and we've taken steps to advocate for ourselves so that society looks more like what we want it to look like, not only for ourselves, but for other populations as well.
Yeah. And I think, too, another really critical thing that I want to get your opinion on this as well, guys. Like, it's, I just don't see it as much anymore. But there was times where you talked to your elders, you know, you sat down with your grandparents and you got history from history. You know, like, you didn't get your history from a book. You got your history. Your grandmother told you what she went through when she was, you know, in the civil rights movement, or your grandfather talked about what happened when he went to war as like one of the only Black soldiers. Like, you got that history from the mouth of it, you know, and it was important and it was, you know, wonderful. And I don't see a lot of that history being passed down generation to generation like it used to. And I don't want to say I miss it because that doesn't, I'm in it, like I'm here, you know what I mean? But like, I feel like it's really lacking and it's something that our community needs, you know, like that's how we keep our, stories alive. The elders keep the stories alive. They keep the tales alive. And now with all the things that are happening in this country, with all the things that people are experiencing, you got Philando Castile and you've got Trayvon Martin and all of these things and like all the riots and all of the shootings and stuff that's going on that people were front row center witnesses to. Those are the kinds of things that we're going to be passing on to our children, but we're not passing on the original foundational history, you know, and sort of what led us to these points, you know? So I think that, you know, in addition to starting on at the grassroots and getting us ourselves comfortable with talking about, you know, what happened in our history, it's also sitting with your elders and getting that history too, and getting a full knowledge of it, you know, and becoming comfortable talking about it. I think all of that plays into itself and plays into each other. And that's how we start to have a robust, you know, African-American core curriculum in all of these schools. You know, I think that's part of how it all goes down.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's so important to get that living history, right? And yeah, that's what we're doing at this point. Taya mentioned, you know, as a young college student, a 20-something, being sort of that, almost that bridge, and having that enthusiasm to want to learn about the history. And we don't get it as much from the elders as we used to before. And, you know, part of that is because of how society is changing as well. Everything is so fast these days, where, you know, we live in the information age, even though we may not have our elders there to talk to give us that information. It doesn't mean the information is not readily available. It really is readily available. And I do agree with you that it would be so, it's almost so much better to get from the people that lived it, right? But you think about even the civil rights movement, and we're talking about the 60s, and here we are in 2019. So you have those young people that went through that time, and many of them may not even be here with us anymore.
Yeah.
And even those that are here with us, you know, they've kind of, you know, they I don't want to say they've passed their time, but they're in that rest stage now.
Yeah, they don't want to bring up old wounds.
With that said, that information is still there. It's readily available for us. It's almost literally at our fingertips. You know, we have access to that sort of thing, and we have to take advantage of those sorts of things. We have to take advantage of that history. We have to gain that understanding of the history. We have to realize that we're more than what we're told we are. Oftentimes we, you know, when you turn on the news or you read a news feed, it is about the negative aspects of our communities and our society. But we know that even within our communities, even though 90% of that community is doing positive and great things, what we tend to hear about is that 5 to 10% that may not be. And so it's important that we take over that narrative and not make that the narrative, but take that 90%, make that 90% what the narrative is about. And this is part of what we're doing in our efforts here. The reason we have the Youth and College Division is because as part of that August weekend, we're gonna have what we call the I Am More Youth Festival. It's a completely youth-run, youth-organized portion of that August 2019 event. And this is gonna be about the youth, it's gonna be by the youth. They are putting this thing together. And the whole thrust behind that is to show young people what they're capable of. And not just to this year 400, but moving forward. Because, you know, in 20 years, Taya is gonna be sitting in my seat, or maybe 30. you know, in the future, these are going to be our leaders, and we want to make sure that we equip our leaders with the tools that they need so that they are leading correctly and that they're leading appropriately, and that this becomes generational, and that we don't allow the negatives to to take over the narrative of who we are, but that we let the positive take over the narrative of who we are.
Definitely. So that's a perfect transition. Let's transition into the event itself and talk a little bit about what people can expect when they come to it. So for starters, you guys are having a program showcase that leads up to your whole commemoration program from August 23rd to the 24th down in Hampton, Virginia. So what kind of programming can people expect to see there? And what can people expect at this event? I know you mentioned the I Am More conference for youth, which is great. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more, but what other program is going to be available and what can people expect when they attend this event in August?
Sure. So I'll actually even lead up to the event in August. Like I said, we're in Toronto, Canada today. And remember the 400.
Say hi to Dr. Vibe, who's also in Canada. He's in the room with us right now.
Remember the 400 leading up to August 2019. We're having a number of different community events that we're doing. Today we have an event in Toronto for Remember the 400 to commemorate the 400th year and to raise awareness of that time as well. It's Juneteenth in the U.S. and in various areas, St. Louis, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, in the New York, New Jersey area. We actually have Remember the 400 that are going out to a number of different park events to raise awareness of this time that's coming up in August 2019. In the New York, New Jersey area in particular, there's a Harlem Book Fair that's occurring in July that we're also going to be there. Commemorating this time as well. And then leading up to August 2019, that weekend, August 23rd through August 25th, in conjunction with the city of Hampton in Project 2019, that Friday night, the 23rd, there's going to be a theatrical presentation and play called The Journey. It's basically a theatrical recreation of literally our journey from the shores of West Africa all the way through the Americas up until this time. It's going to be a beautiful event. It's actually almost sold out. So, you know, for those that are in the Hampton area, I do encourage you to, you know, to get your tickets as soon as possible. It's going to be at the American Theater. That's Saturday. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that's amazing. That sounds amazing.
It's going to be amazing. Our presentation has been done in Harlem, New York. It's been done in London, England. It's been done in Toronto, Canada, and St. Louis. And it's always received great reviews. So we're looking forward to that. And then the Saturday, as part of the whole Saturday commemoration, there will be an African Landing Day festival that the city of Hampton is putting on. We're going to have the I Am More Youth Festival, which I'm going to let Taya tell you more about. And then in different areas, there will be bus trips that will be, you know, transporting people down to Hampton, Virginia. So we do have a bus that will be leaving from the New York, New Jersey area.
Okay.
The bus is going to be leaving from Atlanta, Georgia. There's one in St. Louis, Missouri, to take people to Hampton that weekend in August to commemorate that time. So I'll just pass the information now to Taya so she can tell you more about the Youth Festival.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Yes. So we have, like you said, the Youth Festival, which is on the Saturday. It's called the I Am More Festival. And that kind of has two parts to it. So it's, we say, I am more than the negative stereotypes put on us. I am more than what history seems to be telling us who we are from our education system. I am more than these ideas that are being put on me. And also, I am more because. So why are you more? The things that we are doing in our communities, as you said, that 90% of people that are really trying to make changes. I am more because I have a great history. I am more because I have so much potential. And so those are the messages that we want to portray on that Saturday. As you mentioned, just to really show youth that we are so powerful. And there are so many tools that we have, even social media, our voices alone, that we can use to our benefit, that we can use to teach each other, to learn from each other. And we really want to focus on our limitless potential. So as I mentioned, we are kind of in between two areas. So we that day want to highlight our history and where we've come from and bringing us to this day. And then have those discussions about what we want our future to look like for ourselves, for our children eventually, because we have the ability to shape the future. You know, the youth are the future. And sometimes I think it sounds, you know, a little corny to say because you hear it all your life, but it's so true. And just the older I get, the more I realize that. And so it's everyone working on this event is really excited as you mentioned, we're collaborating with the City of Hampton to put on this event. And it's going to be filled with different performances, different speeches, different people in the community that are working really hard to do those amazing things. So we want to obviously speak about our history and how we've gotten to this point, but we also want to speak about the great positive things that we have going on in the past and in the present and the ways that we can affect changes in our lives. So that's really what that Saturday event is all about. And it's for everyone, all ages, but it's completely driven by our youth, Youth and College Division, and the youth members of our different chapters in Canada and America. And we're really putting our all into this to show everyone what we have inside of us and to remind people what they have inside of them as well.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And I was thinking in terms of attendance, I'm hoping to see mixed attendance. Like, I want to see us, you know, definitely want to see us come out in droves. But I think that we know, you know, we've talked about it. We've talked about our history. We talk about our history, but we want to see people that don't look like us getting a broader understanding of what happened and getting their own knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's important that the whole community, not just, you know, not just us, but everybody comes out to this event and really takes in the knowledge and really takes it back to their own communities, because that's how you start to make change and how you start to increase knowledge and increase understanding and accepting of other people is by attending and opening yourself up to other people's culture and really understanding and listening and just having an open mind, you know, and then being willing, like we mentioned earlier, to discuss what's going on. Because, you know, we can talk until we're blue in the face, but if others don't understand us, it doesn't do any good for our message. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to seeing a mixed crowd at these events. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, as you mentioned in the opening monologue, when you talked about what Remember the 400 was about, part of our purpose is, you know, in our mission statement, we want to be able to heal this divide that is between us and others. We want to be able to bridge that gap. We don't want that anymore. Because again, if we grow and if we prosper and if we are successful as a community, then everyone benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for us to be able to do that, as you mentioned, it's not only about us understanding who we are and how important we are to the wealth and growth and prosperity of this country. It's important that those outside of us recognize that as well, because this information that we have, first of all, it can't be kept in a box. Second, we have to be comfortable with it. We have to understand it. We have to be able to educate others. And third, others have to be open to what we're presenting to them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this, you know, in a silo. We can't do this on our own. We all have to be on that same sheet of music. So I agree with you 100% that the best case scenario would be to have such a diverse mixed group that comes to get this information. But it's also very important that we are there so that we understand, you know, what we're about and who we are.
Definitely. So in terms of the event itself, I know you probably have a team. You know, there are obviously teams and there's different locations and different branches working. So is there, or do you guys still need help with anything? How do people get involved with you guys? Like, if someone wants to, I don't know, maybe volunteer, or, you know, for the youth festival, can, you know, young people volunteer to do different things? Like, how do people get involved with this organization or with the festival if they're interested?
So what I would encourage everyone to do, if anyone is out there and you're interested in becoming a part of this, contributing, participating, go to rememberthe400.com, wherever you may be. We have information that's there on how you can start a chapter in your own community. There's information there on how you can join the chapters that may be in your communities already. There's information there and contacts that we have if you want to volunteer and be a part of Remember the 400. So I would encourage everyone to, you know, log on to rememberthe400.com and go through the website. The website has more information on what we're about and what we're doing. And if you do want to be an advocate, you do want to be involved, that's where I would, you know, encourage everyone to start. We are definitely open
yeah.
Many hands as possible in getting this done, for sure. We really want to encourage, especially the young people, to be part of this, because ultimately, as we talked about, we not only want to commemorate this time and recognize how important the 400 years are, but we really want to talk about moving forward too, and doing the things that need to be done to allow our communities to grow, to allow our young people to become those great leaders that we know that they are and that they can be. So it's not only about the past, recognizing the past, but it's about how do we move into the future? What sort of things do we need to put together so that year 500 will look so much better than year 400?
Definitely. And you know, you mentioned something really interesting a couple of minutes ago. You talked about, you know, healing that divide and really kind of and breaking down that divide. So I know it's a very loaded question, and I know it may not be easy to answer, but what does healing look like? You know, I mean, is it reparations? Is it, you know, the curriculum and stuff like that? Like, what is it, all of these things put together? To you guys, what does healing actually look like, and how is this event going to begin that process?
That's a big one.
I know. I did warn you. I said this is a loaded question. I did warn you.
No, it's a good question, though. It's an important question, because I think for me, at least, the first step of healing the divide is just recognizing everything that's brought us to this point. Mm-hmm. So I think if you don't recognize the history, if you don't acknowledge the history and understand the effects that it's had on the descendants of slaves, on the country as a whole, the continent as a whole, I think there's no going forward from that point. So for me, the first part would be to just recognize everything that's happened, and just to go back to really having those conversations, because that is how we'll begin talking with ourselves, each other, with government representatives, with people that are responsible for changing curriculum, with people that are responsible for things like, you know, taking down Confederate statues. Like, those things start with conversations, to talk about how best to move forward, how best to serve this community as well as the country as a whole. So I will always go back to those conversations starting, and then ideally we have changes in our education system. We have changes and more opportunities for employment to be better represented in things like the police force, and careers like lawyers, doctors, and even entrepreneurs, businessmen, businesswomen. Like, everyone deserves to be represented in all fields of the world. And so we want our fair chance to be in those fields, to have our history represented, to currently be represented in those fields, and to be representatives to the future. And so I think all of that really starts with recognizing how we've gotten to where we are today and having the conversations necessary to build a tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think, you know, healing that divide is multifaceted, as you said, Jamie. It definitely is. This is a conversation that we have amongst ourselves all the time. Education is definitely pivotal, right? And it's not always formal education. You know, whenever we say education, people may think, oh, we're talking about, you know, going to elementary school and then high school and college and all those sorts of things. But education is more than that, right? Education comes from your environment. It comes from your community. So that's an important part of this. Entrepreneurship, being able to control your dollars in your community, that's an important part of this. Reparations is part of the discussion as well. But if you have reparations without education and without understanding, then that's actually really detrimental, right? Mm-hmm. Because then if you give people, no matter who it is, if you give people a whole bunch of stuff and they don't know what to do with that stuff, they're going to give that stuff away. And we have to get to the point where because we understand and we're comfortable with who we are, that we are generating whatever that wealth may look like in our community. And again, wealth doesn't always mean and look like money and material. Wealth can come from knowledge as well. So being able to generate that type of wealth, that we make our children educated and intelligent enough that they can make the type of decisions that will strengthen their families, strengthen their communities. And when the families and the communities are strengthened, then again, everyone benefits from that. And it's not just about us and our community, It's very important, and it needs to start with us in our community, but we want to expand that as well. So it's a multifaceted approach. It's not just one thing in particular. We're not just dealing with education in particular. We're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. We're going to be talking about government. We're going to be talking about parts and places where decisions are made, that we need to be in those rooms where those decisions are made so that we have influence, so that we have impact, so that, again, we make year 500 look a whole lot better than year 400 did.
And then to add to that, we had a Remember the 400 event about a month ago, and we had, I believe she's the first Black councilwoman of Brampton, a city in Ontario, and she said a quote that really stuck with me, I'm sorry, I might not get it exactly right, but she pretty much said that no decisions about us should be made without us. And so just speaking to that, putting ourselves in those rooms, in those conversations, in those positions to make decisions about what healing the divide looks like, what our future looks like, is really important to being able to have a great year 500, 600, and so forth.
Yeah, I agree. And to add to everything that you guys are saying too, in addition to everything you said, there's this idea of having those tough conversations. You know, not letting things that happen in the workplace, not letting things that happen on the street slide by in unacknowledged, you know, like being able to sit and be like, listen, let's talk about what just happened, you know, and talk about why it is or it isn't right, or talk about, you know, what needs to be done to correct it. But taking a minute to just be uncomfortable and just talk about it is very, very important, because I think a lot of times, you know, people let things slide because, like, I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to cause an issue. I don't want to be seen as that girl in the workplace, or I don't want to be seen as that person here or there. You know, I don't want to be seen as that guy where I'm at. So for a lot of people, they're not ready to be put in that uncomfortable position to have those conversations. But that is one of the key parts of healing, is letting people know when they're wrong, or letting people know when something has been done wrong, and having that conversation, like, we should talk about that because that wasn't good, you know, and just not telling people about themselves, but being comfortable if you need to let people know, like, no, just, you know, absolutely not. Yeah. And as well as having those uncomfortable conversations with people, there's this idea of, we need to be at the table. You know, we need to be front row center at some of these conversations in the first place. A lot of these things that are happening behind closed doors are happening behind closed doors that we're not in the room of, you know, so they're happening and they're affecting us and our community, and we're not there to say anything. So I think that we need more Black politicians. We need more Black teachers. We need more Black businessmen. We need more Black businesswomen, more Black entrepreneurs, more everything, so that we have our hands in several different pots and in several different places. We can start to be some of the faces behind these changes that are happening, because we can't expect to take a passenger seat and let somebody drive the vehicle to our fixing. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be actively involved. We have to drive that bus sometimes ourselves. Yeah. So in order for us to do that, we have to actually be on the vehicle. Yeah. So for me, I think it's everything that you guys said, and in a combination of all of these things, that's part of the healing process. Healing is acknowledging what was wrong and fixing it, whether it's an uncomfortable conversation, whether it's driving the bus, whether it's being at the table, whether it's educating properly, or, you know, whether it's talking about things. That's how we heal. So that's just my little two cents on it. I am going to open up the room. I know there's Dr. Vibe wanted to hop in, and there's other people that are watching right now. If you're listening via the WJMS app, if you want to join our conversation, you can join us on Get Vocal and hop in a seat and chat with us live. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. But we're going to open it up for people to just come in and ask questions and interact with Kurt and Taya here. But before we do that, or while we wait for folks to hop in terms of the, I remember you said there are buses to take people to and from the location, which is great. Are there any other accommodations that people should be aware of, like hotels? Are there any partnerships, any sponsors and things that people should be kind of reaching out to for maybe discounts on parking, or, you know, places to stay, or, you know, things like that while they're down in Hampton, Virginia?
Yeah, there is information related to that sort of thing that's on the website as well.
Okay.
We have some partnerships that we have formed with a couple of the hotels that are down there in the area.
Okay.
Those are certainly things that, you know, people can look out for if they want to go down to Hampton, Virginia. Let's say to get like a hotel discount, that sort of thing. We do have some partnerships that are there. And again, I encourage you, if you're interested and you want to get involved in the number, the 400, and you want to make it down to Hampton, Virginia, that you go on to rememberthe400.com, because there's a lot of information that's there related to those things. As far as the bus trips go, we have, as I said, we have definite departure areas that are in Atlanta, Georgia, St. Louis, Missouri, and in New York City. And then in the city itself as well, there are some connections that have been made with a couple of the hotels that are down there too.
Okay, great. So Dr. Vibe has joined us from Canada as well. I guess you guys are close by. Welcome to the show, Dr. Vibe. How you doing today?
I am blessed, highly favored, a magnet for miracles and a solution for someone's problem. How are you?
I'm good. I love that phrase.
There you go. Loving the conversation, the initiative. I won't be too long, but just have a quick question for your guests. How important do they feel intergenerational learning is for their initiative?
That's a very good question. I think we were actually talking about that a little bit in terms of having the elders pass the information on to the young people. But I think that it's very important, especially in our community, because that was such a big part of how information made it throughout our generations and throughout our history. A lot of that got lost because of the, you know, the atrocities of slavery, that a lot of those things in that way, we lost that connection. But it's still there. And I think that is very important. And I hope I didn't minimize how important that was by suggesting that a lot of information is readily available online. But when you can get that experience directly from someone that had been there and been through it, then you get the emotions, you get all the feelings that went along with whatever that history was. It will be like when I get older, telling my grandchildren about being part of this 400 commemoration and living through this pivotal time. So I think that is a very important part, especially for us, and the way that information is passed down to us. Because oftentimes, when it does make it to the books, it either gets watered down, or the information changes, or it may even be wrong. So I think that is very important, to have that sort of education within our communities.
And I think not only in terms of history, but things like, and you kind of mentioned at the end of your comment, Jamie, was learning how to navigate spaces, learning how to, you know, advocate for yourself, learning confidence in your skin. Like, those are also things that intergenerationally, we have to pass those down, because unfortunately sometimes we're not getting it in the way other people might get it, or we're not getting it in formal settings. And so the only way to get it is your parents and your grandparents teaching you how to best navigate spaces and how to best represent yourself, how to have those uncomfortable situations in the workplace, in your educational system, how to really just stand up for yourself when it's needed in appropriate ways. And so I think in addition to the history you learn from your ancestors, your grandparents, is also just practical life skills that are really applicable to us specifically.
I think too, to add to what you just said, Taya, is this idea of not perpetuating the negative. You know, I think we get on social media and we want to be with the hype and we want to be with the coolness and all that kind of stuff. You know, team light skin, team dark skin. We don't need to participate in things that divide us. You know, like that whole team light skin, team dark skin thing drives me absolutely crazy. You don't see Asians in the community like team light, you know, Asian, team dark Asian. You don't see that in any other community except ours. Like, ours is the only type of community that really puts that much stock into how dark or how light your skin is. And it divides us. And we don't need to perpetuate those kind of things or participate or really kind of hop on the bandwagon of those kinds of things that divide us even further. I think when those kinds of things happen, we need to sort of be like, listen, no, like, we're not doing that today. Like, that we're all beautiful, period, end of story. It doesn't matter if you're team dark or team light. Like, there is no team dark, it's only team us. Yeah. And I think that once we stop sort of perpetuating our own demise sometimes, I think that that'll be helpful, because that's how we come together as people. Like, we just spend so much time trying to say, I'm better than you because of this, or I'm better than you because of that, when really we should be lifting each other up and saying we're all good together. And I know that that's a very kumbaya way to say it, but honestly, it's, you just don't see that in other communities. Like, we're the only community that attacks each other for being either dark or light, you know, like, it's, it's really, it's a shame, to be honest with you. So I think that's also part of it.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to how important education is, because if we understand it, how deep those roots go with just something as simple as team light skin, team dark skin, if we really understand how deep those roots go and how this is a behavior that we've been taught, if we can understand that, then we can break that chain, we can break that cycle, and we can stop perpetuating these things that we're being taught that pulls us down, that leads to our demise. And that's why the education and that's why the understanding of who we are is so important.
Exactly. So hopefully, Dr. Vibe, that answered your question.
Yes, it did. I will jump off. I'll just ask one other, if they could, your guests can make one other comment, I'll jump off. I'd like to know for each one of them to share a success story with Remember the 400th so far.
Cool. I can go first. I mentioned briefly I was a part of a webinar we did in February. Like I said, about learning our history throughout the entire year and not just in that one month. And for me, that was very exciting on an individual level, also as part of the Youth and College Division, to have those discussions. And we had a lot of feedback, a lot of questions and comments from the people that were listening in, viewing the webinar with us. And a great example of it was a youth-led initiative. It was myself and two other college students. And to see that we have power in our voice. We were making points and everyone's like, yeah, that's so, you guys sound so great. You're so well-educated. You're such a good representation. And so to get that positive feedback from your community is amazing. And to see that we were doing something that was needed in the community and was beneficial to the community was, I would say, my first insight into how powerful this initiative is and the changes that we can make. And so that was really exciting for me to experience.
Yeah, I think my positive outcome or occurrence with Remember the 400 is along the same lines. We recently did we had an event at a public library in Englewood, New Jersey. And at the end of the presentation, one of the members in the audience stood up and said, you know, this is the sort of thing that needs to be taught in schools, that this is the sort of thing that the young people need to hear about, that they need to understand, that they need to learn. And so we talk about that all the time in the Remember the 400 Committee. But then to put it out into the community and to see that same thing come back to us, and beyond that, to start taking steps to have these things, placed into the education system is it's encouraging. It's encouraging and exciting.
Definitely. All right. Well, we're wrapping up the show here. Somehow we ran out of time, but I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to shout out your contact information, both for Remember the 400 and individually if you want to share it. And if there's any other last closing things that you want to mention about the event or about the weekend or about Remember the 400 that you didn't get a chance to mention, I'm going to turn the mic over to you guys for that as well. So go ahead.
So once again, Jamie, I just really love to thank you for this opportunity and this platform, giving us this chance to talk about Remember the 400. We certainly appreciate it. I would just encourage everyone again to go to the website, rememberthe400.com. Hampton, Virginia, August 23rd through 25th. 2019. The Journey Play is going to be the Friday night. It's going to be great. As a matter of fact, the tickets are almost already sold out. You may be able to go on Ticketmaster and still get tickets because you can get them through Ticketmaster. August 24th, the Saturday will be the I Am More Youth Festival in conjunction with the City of Hampton. So this is going to be a great time, great event. And not only for adults, but for children as well, because again, the Youth Festival is all about young people. So I would just encourage everyone to go out there and be a part of this movement. You can tag us on the different social media handles. There's always information that's being put out on that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Like you said, we have our social medias. I'm also on social media. If anybody wants to connect with me, any questions about how it's been working with Remember the 400, anything like that, you're more than welcome. My Instagram is Taya Henry. TAYAHENRY. I'm more than happy to answer any questions anyone might have of potentially joining, working with us, starting your own chapter, anything like that. I'd be happy to help.
Great. All right. So, and folks, of course, you know, our social media is at WJMS Radio, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We can also be caught on Get Vocal doing some live shows like this. So you can chat with us and hop on and actually voice your opinion and chat with us visually, which is a wonderful, wonderful platform now. I've really kind of broken down the divide here. Like, I'm talking to you guys in Canada, and it's just really cool to be able to talk to people, not just, you know, in your area, but literally around the world. It's really, really amazing how many just walls we've been able to break down. So again, thank you to all the folks that tuned in today, that asked questions, that participated. Thank you so much, Kurt and Taya, for being with me today and for being patient with the reschedule. This was a really, really wonderful show though. So I'm really glad that we took the time to do this right. I'll be back again, folks, with a brand new episode next week. Thank you to everybody behind the scenes that helps make the show possible, to all you guys for listening and staying with us. We appreciate you. Until then, happy Juneteenth weekend, everyone. And I'll see you again next Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, yeah. Mama said we in the trench. You best believe this ain't no hotel. Rocking your halo like a snapback as you hang with ghetto angels. She told me they won't catch you when you fall. You know this thing won't end well. Tell somebody shot the sheriff. If it's you, I ain't gon' pay bail. She says, good morning, wake up, wake. Good morning, wake up, wake. Good morning, wake up, wake. Wake up, wake. Wake up and get yourself to church, yeah. Church don't take no holidays. He said, I'll calm my anger in the storm until your tears leave away. Don't want these trees looking for beef, cause I was in love with a cold flame. She says, good morning, wake up, wake. Good morning, wake up, wake. Good morning, wake up, wake. Wake up, wake. Wake up and get yourself to church, yeah. Church 110%, they had your back when you was down. Don't forget, hollow away, Holy Ghost, bullet ricochet. Took some time to pray, when I'm in the streets today, make the devil stay away. Ain't got a faith, but you're blocking all your blessings when you're lying about your age. I can feel the spirit moving when I'm lighting up the stage. Who listening when you pray? It just depends on your taste.
She said, tell me where you're running when that kitty ain't as warm as it was. I don't care who you praying to, watch and pray you. What you seek is underneath that kingdom come and make them scream. Amen. From the congregation, I need a spray tag for my haters. And when they ask me where I'm headed, hella heaven, see those facets. Straight to Mars, look at God.
She says, good morning, wake up, wake. Good morning, wake up, wake. She says, good morning, wake up, wake. Wake up. Wake up and get yourself to church, yeah.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.